Shalom to all. Today's office called out Tzadi Aleph. We're starting by the seventh line with the words Tashma. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Mars Mim Sarbas Biakam Moshe Harnish. Almost should have an Aliyah. So we continue discussing Shiz Rabbi Yehuda in Gid Anasha. Remember, he had said that Gid Anasha is only with one thigh, one Yarech, as well as the Chacham Mishnah that it's in both. Rabbi Yehuda says it's just in one. And after a little bit of discussion in the previous Gemara, we had said that it's the right thigh. Our question is he 100% certain that it's the right thigh or to Suffolk? So we continue attempted Raya Tashma. We have a Mishnah later on in the parak that says, Achum Mizekazais from Mizekazais. If a person ate a Kazais from this one and from that one, from two different Gid Anashes, Sevik Shmainim, he gets 80 Malkus. Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Ainu Sevik Galar Abayim, he only gets 40. Now, Iyar Bishlam, Mivshe Pshitale, if you want to say he's 100% certain that it's the right thigh, so Shapir, this makes sense that Rabbi Yehuda holds, he gets 40 Malkus. Eliyam Rasvigim Sabgale, but if one holds just a Suffolk, Havla Asra Suffolk, this Asra Suffolk. When he eats from each of these Gid Anashes, and they warn him, don't eat from that, that's Gid Anashe, that's really just a Suffolk. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's the other one. Emshal Mila Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Asra Suffolk, Lishma Asra. We know that Rabbi Yehuda holds, Hasra Suffolk, it's not considered Asra. The time you have a Braisa, we have a situation that was brought about 10 daf ago in the Gemara, that we have a woman, after getting divorced, had gotten married within 3 months, then she had a baby 7 months later, so we're not so sure who the baby's father is. Was it a 9-month pregnancy from the original husband, or a 7-month pregnancy with the brand new husband? And this has to do with the Isser of hitting or cursing the father. So the Braisa tells us, Hika Zeva Chazer Hika Zeh, Kila Zeva Chazer Kila Zeh. First he struck potential father number one, then potential father number two, or he cursed the first one, then cursed the second one, or Hika Shneim Bazachas, he struck both of them at once, or she killed Shneim Bazachas, he cursed both of them at once. Chayv, he's chayv for doing that. And Rabbi Yehuda, he says, if he did it simultaneously to both of them, so then he would be chayv. But if he did one after another, potter is potter. And that's because Asra Safik. Right before he strikes potential father number one, they tell him, don't do that. That's your father. Well, it's only Asra Safik. Maybe it's not his father. And the second one is the same thing. Maybe it's not his father. Maybe the first one was. As we see, Rabbi Yehuda holds Asra Safik, Loishma Asra. Says the Gemara, Hai Tana Sarvala, Ke'idach Tana Rabbi Yehuda. This Tana of the Mishnah that we were just quoting before holds like the other member of the name Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar, that there's a different Tana named Rabbi Yehuda that says, Asra Safik, Shma Asra. That Asra Safik is called Asra. How do we know? This is a Tana of a Braisa. In regards to Noiser of the Karban Pesach, where we know one is not allowed to leave over from the Karban Pesach until the morning. If he does, it's called Noiser and has to be burned. So Braisa quotes the pasuk, Loisus your menu ad bike for Geimer, don't leave it over until the morning, and if it is, it shall be burned. Now, Balkas Litin Hase Acher Lois Hase, the pasuk's bringing in Hase after the Lois Hase, Loimar Tase, Shein Loikan Olav, that one doesn't get Malkas for a different Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, meaning even though there's a lav, don't leave over from the Karban Pesach until the morning, so you would think that if a person did, he would get Malkas, since the pasuk then says, and if somebody left over till the morning, it shall be burned. That's the assay that fixes up the lois assay. Don't worry, you are the lois assay. That's okay, just burn it and everything's fine. Now, leaving over meat of the carbon until the morning is technically asra safik because the edom are going to tell him, Rabbi Yid, you better eat this meat or else you're going to leave it over till the morning, and that's an isser. So he's always able to respond to them, that's okay, I still have a little bit of time. So he always has a little bit of time because it's not yet the morning, and therefore the hasra that they're giving him is really only a safik. They're not so sure, maybe he is going to eat it. And then by the time it's morning, they're not able to warn him anymore because it's too late, it's the morning. So the whole thing is really asra safik. Nonetheless, we see from Rabbi Yehuda that if not for the fact that the pasuk brought us an assay and told us, don't worry, you left it over till the morning, you could just burn it. If we wouldn't have had that assay, then he would have gotten Malkus, even though it's Asra Safik. So we see we do have a version of Rabbi Yehuda that Asra Safik is called Asra. Now Rabbi Yaakov says regarding this, it's not because of that. It's a lav shein by maisa. The person just sat there and left it over, but he didn't physically do an action. Like in all of any lav that a person didn't do an action to actively be over the lav, he just sat there and it happened to be on its own, one's not going to get Malkus for that. That's his reason why when a person leaves over from the Karban Pesach until the morning, he doesn't get Malkus. Bottom line is we still don't have a raya for Rabbi Yehuda regarding the Gedan Nasha. So Tashma, we have another raya. What about the following case? Achal Beis Gidin mi Beis Yirechos mi Beis Behemos. If he ate two separate Gidin from two thighs from two separate animals, Seifik Pei, he gets 80 Malkus, two sets. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Einu Seifik El Arabayim, he only gets 40, meaning one set. Now, with the Karban Beis Yirechos, in fact, the way we have this case, that it was from two separate thighs of two animals, Pshita de Tarvayu Lisura. Must be we're talking about both Gedan Nasha are for sure usher, because we could have just easily said that it was two gidanashes from the same animal, one from the right leg, one from the left leg. From the fact that we say that it was two separate thighs from two separate animals, it must be that both gidanashes that we're referring to here are 100% usher. And Rabbi Yehuda Estrich, this is necessary in Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Shmamina, what we see from here, Mifshit Pshitale, Rabbi Yehuda is 100% certain that it's the right thigh. Shmamina, that's a valid raya. Once again, from the fact that we see that this case is presented as two separate thighs from two separate animals, it must be we're talking about that both these gidanashes that he ate were 100% usser, and then mean according to Yehuda that mifshe pshitale, he's 100% certain that it's the right thigh which is usser. So the Gemara asks, v'pshitale, so if it's clear to him that it's the right thigh which is usser, why is he only get 40 and not more than that? Lolkepe, he should get 80 because he ate two gidanashes. The answer is, what are we referring to here? There wasn't a kezias in one of them. If he ate the whole gidanashe and there wasn't a kezias, the whole gidanashe was smaller than a kezias, chayv is still chayv. That's because it's a beria, it's like a full creation in and of itself, so he's going to be chayv for that. according to Tanakama, or is Rabbi Yudam? He says that no, Achei b'kazayis, it has to have a kazayis in it. Therefore, even though he ate two gira noshes, since one of them didn't have a kazayis, only one of them did, that's why he only gets one set of malchus. And we further clarify the time of my. So what's the reason Rabbi Yehuda holds it's the right thigh? That's where the problem of gira nosha is. So Amar Rav, he explains that's because Amar Kra, the pasuk says ha-yarech, the thigh. What do we learn from here? Hamiyumenes shebiyarech, this hey of ha-yarech tells us that we're talking about the special, the unique one of the thighs, which is referring to the right one, because right is always more chasha than left. Now Rabbanon, what about them? They hold that gira nosha is in both the right and the left. How do they understand? Ha-yehuda pashat yisrui b'kula yarech. Ha-yarech tells us that the isra of gira nosha is throughout the entire thigh. That's just coming to exclude the outer one, as we mentioned in the beginning of the parak, that there's an inner one and an outer one. So this is coming to exclude that the outer gid is not part of the Isser. Amar, he explains differently. Amar Kra, the pasuk says, in regards to the fight between Yaakov and the Malach of Esav, where the whole Isser of Gidon Asha comes from in the first place, when he was wrestling with him, how do we understand this? As when a person is embracing his friend, the Lashon of Avkai is like chibuk, which is a hug. So when a person is hugging his friend, or as we had explained earlier, when two people are wrestling or grappling, so they're basically embracing each other, the other and his right hand is going to wrap around his opponent's body and go to his right thigh, and that's how we know it's the right thigh. We have another explanation based off of this fight between Yaakov and the Malach of Esav of how we know it was the right thigh. Rosh Hashanah Chmeni Amar, he says, when Yaakov was walking and he saw the Malach of Esav, he thought it was Avik Chavim, a non-Jew. And what does that have to do with anything? The Armaya was stated, you saw Shanit Baloi Avik Chavim Baderech, of a Yid's walking along the way, and then a non-Jew comes along to join him. So Tefuli Minoi, he should be connected, and he should walk along on his right hand side, which means the Yid should ensure that the non-Jew is on his right side, the Hainu, he's on the left of the non-Jew, and that's because there's a chashash that the non-Jew is going to kill the Yid, so he needs to be ready to stop him. Therefore, the Yid wants his right hand available. That's why he makes sure the non-Jew is on his right hand side. And that's how Yaakov and the Malach of Esav were situated, so that means that the Malach is going to stretch out his hand and strike the closest thigh, which would be Yaakov's right thigh. Whereas our Shulbar Acha, Kamedra of Papa, Meshmedu Rav Bar Ula Amar, he says, Kitam Chacham Nid Meloi, that actually the Malach of Esav appeared to Yaakov as a Tamar Chacham, the Amar was stated, Min Rabbi Hariz a Bur, if a person goes on the right of his Rebbe, so he's considered a Bur, a fool or empty. And so Yaakov went to the left of the Malach of Esav, which is the same thing as we said before, just for a different reason. It's not because he thought it was a non-Jew, he thought it was a Talmud Chacham, so he wanted to go to the Talmud Chacham's left, and that means that the thigh that was exposed to the Malach of Esav was the right one. Now Rabbanon, how do they explain? They hold that both thighs are a problem. That's because Mechari Asa, he came from behind Vinashi B'Travayu, and he displaced both of Yaakov's thighs, the right and the left. Asking more of Rabbanon, Hai Be'avka Imai Maidar Shibay, what are their Rabbanon Darshan from the words Be'avka Imai? Because of the first Rasha that we had, it had to do with specifically the right thigh, because when two people are grappling, so the right arm wraps around the body and is able to displace the right thigh. But according to them, both Gidon Ashes are Usher, so what's Be'avka Imai telling us? It's Rezi Bailech Rishu Ben Levi. We need it for the other Joshua Rishu Ben Levi. Rishu Ben Levi tells us, Malame Chehelu Avak Mar Goloisam Ad Kisei HaKavod. This teaches us that the dust of their rose all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod. Ksiv Hacha says over here, Be'avka Imai. Avka is a Lashon of Avak, dust. Ksiv Hasam, it says over there, Va'anan Avak Raglov, and the cloud of the dust of his feet, meaning this battle between the Malach of Esav and Yaakov, created a dust that rose all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod, which according to some symbolize that Esav, which is a Amalek, it's the non-Jews, they cause this cloud of dust in front of the Kisei HaKavod, so we can't see Hashem clearly, and that caused a challenge in our avodas Hashem. We continue from Rishu Ben Levi, Lomanik Roshma Gid HaNoshe, why is it called Gid HaNoshe? Shenoshe Mekayme Va'ala, it sprung or jumped from its place and went up, as we've been translating as displaced, because it was moved from where it was supposed to be, and Rechini Amor, another pasuk says, Noshsa Gvurasam, their Gvura jumped or skipped, Hayula Nashim, they became women, which means they became weak. So this Lashon of Nashe means to be displaced or to jump and be moved out of place. And Rabbi Yisrael Bichini tells us, Maitech Sevos Pshan the Pasuk, Dover Shalch B'Yakov V'Nafal B'Yisrael. Now, literally translated, this would mean that the word that Hashem had sent for Yaakov is going to happen or befall to Am Yisrael. However, in the Drasha, the word Dover is being understood as something, meaning Hashem sent something to Yaakov or happened to Yaakov, and that's going to be in all of Klal Yisrael. What does that mean? Dover Shalch B'Yakov, Ze Gira Nashe, that's referring to the Gira Nashe of Yaakov, V'Nafal B'Yisrael. What does that mean? Shepashat Yisrael B'Chal Yisrael, then now his Isser has spread throughout all of Am Yisrael, and that's how we understand this Pasuk. And Rabbi Yisrael B'Chini tells us, Ma'ilch Sevi was Pshan Pasuk. We had brought this up earlier as well. When Yosef's brothers came to visit him, before they knew he was Yosef, he had told him, Mimuna Al-Besai, U'Tavayach Tavach V'Hachain, you should shecht and prepare it. What do we learn from here? Tavayach Tavach, he was telling the one who's in charge, Parlohen Beis HaShechita, you should expose the Beis HaShechita for them so they could see that it was shechted properly. V'Hachain and prepare, what does that mean? Toil Gid HaNasha B'Fenehem, remove the Gid HaNasha from them so they'll feel comfortable to eat. That is clearly command to Amar, Gid HaNasha, Nasal B'nei Noach. According to the Ma'an to Amar, the Gid HaNasha was Asr B'nei Noach, and that's the reason why he would remove the Gid HaNasha for them, because remember this is before Matan Torah, so this is definitely according to the Ma'an to Amar, that even the B'nei Noach, meaning before Matan Torah, there was this Isra to Gid HaNasha. Continue to discuss Yaakov and the Malach of Esav. It says in the Pasuk, Vayavasar Yaakov Vadoi, Yaakov was left alone. Amar B'lazar, he tells us, why was he left alone? He remained there because of Pachim Ketanim, there were these these small jars that he had left. So he crossed the little nachal, as the pasuk says, in order to get his pachim ketanim. And mikal tzadikim shechav maleim money miyosim gufam. From here we learn tzadikim, their mamonis, their property, that which they own, is more beloved than their bodies. Why is that? Why is the talmud chacham's possessions so precious to him? Why are they so careful with them? V'she'ein pashni dein begazel. That's because they don't stretch their hands out to steal, since all their money is hard earned and honestly earned. So everything they buy is very precious to them. And that's why they're careful with every little thing. We continue. The pasuk says, "Vayavik yeshimai ad alois hashachar," and the man wrestled with him until alois hashachar. Amar Yitzchak, he clarifies, "Mikal tam chacham shol yetsi chid belayla." We learn from here that tam chacham should not go out alone at night. That's because there's mazikim, there's dangerous things that can happen. We see that once it's alois hashachar, once it's ready in the morning, that's fine. But before then, when it's still dark outside, a tam chacham shouldn't be alone. Now, Rabbi Barkana Amar, he says, "Mehacha." We learn this from the following. Tzadi alfam beis on top. Nami told Rus, "Hine hu zayrus garin hasairim." He, which is referring to Bayaz, is going to be winnowing the barley tonight. And in essence, Nami was telling Rus that since he's doing it at night, he's not going to be going back at home in the middle of the night, because it's improper for a Talmud Chacham to be out alone at night. Rashi says, Gnaihu, people might look at him askance, perhaps he was up to something inappropriate, and therefore you should go to Bayaz, because I know for sure he's going to be over there. Now, Ravo Amar, he says, Mehacha, we learn from following, as in the pasuk by Kiz Yitzchak, Vayashkim Avram Baker, Vayachlash is Chamayr Vagaymer, and he woke in the morning and he saddled his donkey. And why did he do this in the morning? Well, must be, we learn from here, don't travel in the middle of the night. And that's even though he was with two other people, his Na'ar and Yitzchak still want you to travel at night. Now, Rabban Amar, they say, Mehacha, from here, how do we know? Yaakov had told Yosef, go seek out the welfare of your brothers and the flock of sheep. And the lashon is lechno re'e, go and see them. When do you see them? You see them during the day. Therefore, we learn don't go out at night. Now, Rav Amar, he says, this is where we learn. The pasuk says, and the sun rose for him. This is after Yaakov left the Malach of Esav. It says the sun rose for him. Now, what does it mean it rose for him? So, Rav Kivi explains, this question in the meat market of Imam. Why were they there? They went to buy an animal for the chasun of Rav Gamliel's son. And this is the question I asked him, says Rav Kiva. Except it says in the pasuk, and the sun rose for him. And the question is, did it rise for him alone? It rose for the whole world. The sun doesn't just rise for you. And the answer is that Amar Yitzchak says, the sun that set for him rose for him. What does that mean? That's because the pasuk says, the Yaakov left Be'er Sheva and he went to Charan. But then the pasuk says, and he encountered the place, and that's where he davened, fell asleep, and had the famous dream of the ladder with the malachim going up and down it. So the question is, how could this be? If he already went to Charan, why is it saying Vayivka b'makayim, which is referring to place base El, which is before Charan? How does this make sense? The answer is, Kimat al Charan, once he got to Charan, he already arrived at his place. Amar, he said to himself, after Havarti al Makam Shispalati Avoisai, Vani Lo Yispalati, is it possible that I passed the area where my father's davened and I didn't daven there? I have to go back and daven there. So Kiyav died to the Madar, once he decided he's going back to daven in this place which he subsequently called Beis El, Kafsalei Ara, he had Kvitsa Derech, and Miyad right away, that's why the Pasuk tells us, Vayivka b'makayim, he encountered the place, which also could mean that he davened there. And Kitzel, once he finished davening, by Lim Heder, he wanted to go back to Charan. However, Mekosh Baruch Hashem said, Tzadik Zeh Bala Beis Maloini, the Tzadik came to my Beis Maloin, my lodging place, my hotel, so to speak, which is where the Beis Mikdash was going to be built. V'yipater B'lai Lina, and he's going to leave without sleeping? How could that be? So Miyad right away, that's why the Pasuk says, Bo Hashemesh, the sun set. In other words, the sun set for him Dafka, so that he shouldn't leave, and he should stay where he is so that he could go to sleep. Already from here, we see there's Talmud Chacham shouldn't travel alone at night, because once it was nighttime, Yaakov says, okay, I can't travel, I'm going to lay down to sleep. Now we continue discussing this, because the Pasuk then says, and he took from the stones of the place and he put them around his head, ostensibly to protect himself. But then the pasuk says, and he took the stone. But just before it says he took many stones, what does it mean, the stones? From Yitzchak, he tells us, this teaches that all the stones that he put around his head gathered in one place, and each stone said, I want the tzaddik to put his head on me. And all them, so to speak, got swallowed, meaning they all merged into one stone. And that's why it says that when he woke up, he took the stone, because originally he had placed 12, and now there was just one. We continue with this whole story of Yaakov, Vayachlem, and he had a dream, Vihine Sulam Ritz of Arza, and there was a Sulam, a ladder, that was set into the ground. And the pasuk continues, Vreshim Agia Shemaima, the top went all the way up to the heaven. Tanu, we have a Braisa, Kam Rachba Shal Sulam, how wide was this ladder? Shemaitis Lofim Parsois, it was 8,000 Parsois. And how do we know this? Because the pasuk says, Vihine Malach Elkim, Oilim Yardim Bai, that there were Malachim of Hashem going up and down on it. Now, Oilim Shnaim, when it says Oilim, that means that there was two Malachim going up, and Vyardim Shnaim, when it says Yardim, that means that there's two Malachim going down. So Vichipagu Bahadi Adadi, Havlu Arba. When these Malachim, the ones going up and the ones going down, met each other on the ladder, so that means there has to be enough space for four malachim to be on the ladder at the same time. Says about a malach, and the body of a malach was like Tarshish, which is Yam Tarshish, the sea of Tarshish, and Ugmir, we have Mesaira, the Tarshish, Trey Alfi Parsehavu, that this Yam of Tarshish is 2,000 parsois, and so if every malach is 2,000 parsois wide, and we have to have space on this ladder for four malachim, that means that the ladder was 8,000 parsois wide. We continue discussing Yaakov's dream, they went up and they looked at the image above, which is referring to the image of Yaakov. Avinu, which is on the Merkava of Hashem, V'yarden, and they went down, and they looked at his image down here, meaning when he was sleeping, and Bo'o Sakune, they want to harm him, because they became jealous, so Miyad right away was the Pasuk say, V'hine Hashem Nitzav Olav, Hashem was standing over him, and the Pasuk continues what Hashem told Yaakov, but the reason why Hashem was standing over him was protect him from the Malachim. Rishim Lakish Lakish says, El Mali Mekar Kasov, if not for this Pasuk that's written, Iyav Shal Amroi, it would be impossible to say this, Ka'adam Shemenef Al-Banoi, it's like a person who's being Menef, who's waving in front of his son, he's fanning him to protect him from the heat, and that's so to speak what Hashem was doing for Yaakov. The Pasuk continues that Hashem told Yaakov, Ha'arsa Sharta Shech Velev Gomer, the Aretz, the land which you are laying on, L'cha Etanenu, L'zarecha, the Pasuk continues, I'm going to give it to you and your descendants. Now the question is, Meir Vusei, what's so chashiv about this? It can't be that Hashem was literally telling him that the ground that you're lying on, which is a couple of amos, has been giving to you and your descendants, that's not really that much of a gift. And therefore, Amar Yitzchak clarifies, Malam Shekiplak Hashbaruch Hu Chol Eretz Yisrael, Vinichatach Yaakov Vinu, the teacher says that Hashbaruch Hu took all of Eretz Yisrael and he folded it up and put it underneath Yaakov, Shetenoich Lekavish Levanov, to show him how easy it's going to be for his descendants to be able to conquer. And that's what he means, the land that you're lying on. Literally, all of Eretz Yisrael was under Yaakov Vinu at that point in time. Now, going back to the fight with Yaakov and Esau's Malach, Vayomer, he had said, Shalchini, send me, Ki Allah Shachar, because now the morning has risen. And this is the Malach telling Yaakov, please release me. So Amar Lo, Yaakov told him, What Ganavato, I could be Yusasato, are you a thief or a kidnapper? Shemisar Min Ashachar, that you're afraid from the morning? Amar Lo, he told him, Malachani, I'm an angel. Yaakov hadn't realized until then he was an angel. And Miyam Shin of Resi, Lo, Yes, Mani, Lemer Shirat Achshav. And from the day I was created, it was never yet my time to say Shirat Hashem until right now. And so now you have to release me so that I could go and say Shirat Hashem. And we say, Rechanan al Murav, this is right for Rechanan Seb Shem Rav, Dom Rechanan al Murav, Shalish Kita Shamachi Asharis Armasir Bechol Yom, the three groups of Malachim that say Shira every single day. Achas Amer is Kadosh, one of them says Kadosh, Vachas Amer is Kadosh, another one says Kadosh, Vachas Amer is Kadosh Hashem Tzavakos, the third one says Kadosh Hashem Tzavakos, as is a riot to what the Malach had said. It wasn't his time yet to say Shira, now he's going to be part of one of those groups that says either Kadosh, Kadosh, or Kadosh Hashem Tzavakos. Now we ask on this, Mesa, we have a Rabbi that tells us, Chavivin Yisrael Fnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yosh Malach HaShares, that the Yidin are more beloved to Hashem than the Malach HaShares. Why is that? Yisrael and Mashir B'chol Shal, Yidin can say Shira anytime they want, Malach HaShares, Eino Mashir El Pamachas Bayoim, Malachim can only say Shira once a day, V'amrilo, and some say Pamachas B'Shabbos, once a week, V'amrilo, and some say Pamachas B'chodesh, once a month, V'amrilo, some say Pamachas B'shana, once a year, V'amrilo, some say Pamachas B'shavua, once in 7 years, V'amrilo, some say Pamachas B'yovel, once in a yovel, which is once every 50 years, V'amrilo, some say Pamachas B'olam, once in a lifetime, and also, V'yisrael maskinim s'shem achar shtei tevos, Yidin mentioned Hashem's name after two words, remember the Pasuk says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, V'gaymer, so we see that after two words, Shema Yisrael, then we're able to say Hashem's name, but Malach HaShar, Se'im Askerin S'Hashem El Achar Shalosh Tevas, Malachim are only able to say Shem Hashem after three words, the Chesed Kodesh Pasuk says, Kodesh Kodesh Kodesh, and then they say, Hashem Tzvakais. Also, Ve'in Malach HaShar, So'im Shir L'Mala, Ad Shir M'Yisrael L'Mata, the Malachim don't say Shir up above until the Yidin say Shir down below, as the Pasuk tells us, Biron Yachad Koich Ve'Biker, when the morning stars, Koich Ve'Biker, the morning stars, that's referring to the Yidin, when they are run, when they sing Shira, Yachad, together, so V'Hadar, only then the Pasuk tells us, Vayriu Kol B'nei Elikim, then all the B'nei Elikim, they're able to be Yariu, which is shout and say Shira. Now, the reason why Bryce is a question where Rabbi Chananel said, is because Rabbi Chananel said that we have three groups of Malachim, one says Kadosh, the other one says Kadosh, and the third one says Kadosh Hashem Tzvakos, which means that third group of Malachim is saying Shem Hashem after just saying one word, Kadosh. Whereas this Bryce tells us that the Malachim are only able to say Shem Hashem after three words, Kadosh, 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 and only then they say Hashem Tzvakos. And the answer is that Eli, right? What does Rabbi Chananel mean to say? Achas Amer is Kadosh, Vachas Amer is Kadosh, Kadosh, Vachas Amer is Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos. So the first one says Kadosh, second one says Kadosh, Kadosh, and the third group says Kadosh, 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 and only then they say Hashem Tzvakos. So you see the Siyadin are still Chavivin because they say Shema Yisrael and are able to say Hashem's name right afterwards, after two words, not after three. Ask the Gemara, hold on a second, Ikam Baruch. What about the Pasuk of Baruch Kavod Hashem Im Kaimai? That's saying Shem Hashem after two words, not three. So it's how to be someone off on top. The Gemara answers, Baruch Aifanim Hu Da'am Relay. The Pasuk of Baruch Kavod Hashem Im Kaimai is said by the Aifanim, as we say in Berachas Kriyashma, the Aifanim V'chayas HaKodesh. The Aifanim, they say this, and my Aifanim are different than Malachim. They're on a higher level, they're part of the Markava itself, so they're allowed to say Shem Hashem after just two words, as opposed to Malachim, which are on a lower level, can only say after three words. We say, alternatively, we can answer, Kim Desiyav Rishusa is Yaiv. Since anyway, permission was given, meaning once they're able to say Hashem's name, that's after saying Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, so then they're already allowed to say it after two words. But the first time they say Shem Hashem, they have to say it only after three words. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss the fight between Yaakov and the Malach of Esav. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.